dark in here, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. Oh, well. Oh, yeah. I hit the side lights, Kimmo. Yay. Well, Jimmy was going to talk to y'all tonight, but he just ran out of juice. So, I'm going to talk about life. And I'm going to be reading from the Passion Translation of the Bible. I'm going to be reading you the footnotes too. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, in changing, you are faithful. You are faithful in when things change, when things are changing around us, when things are shifting. You are faithful. You have your way and you have your plans. And we declare in this house tonight that your way and your plans will prevail over every human plan and, oh my, yeah, over every demonic plan. We cancel those things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hi, guys. So if you have the Passion Translation, turn to John chapter 1. And if you don't, I'm going to read to you anyway. And so it will be easy breezy, slow going here. And in the very beginning, the living expression was already there. And if you're looking in the other Bibles, it is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, the living expression was already there. And thanks, Matt. We'll just wait till they get themselves situated. And the living expression was with God, yet fully God. Kim said she thought I looked like I was in a cafe, like in a coffee bar. And I thought, yeah, I need like a big espresso up here. And a friend or two to talk to, and we just talked through this whole thing. Welcome to this place, dear friends. So, the living expression was with God, yet fully God. They were together, face to face, in the very beginning. And through his creative inspiration, the living expression made all things. For nothing has existence apart from him. Life came into being because of him. Life came into being because of him. So, I want to go through John and read some of these footnotes that are just outrageously good and talk about life. Because in thinking about church and thinking about your walk with the Lord and your spiritual life, if you get focused on doing everything right or what to do or goal or task-oriented, which you will be task-oriented when you're walking with the Lord. You will have certain things that you do. You read the Word, you pray, you forgive. That's a big one, forgive, the task orientation to forgive. You do those things, but the thing that really makes a person be a believer and a member of the body of Christ, and A happy Christian is the presence of life. And so when Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, you know, what do I need to do, blah, blah, blah. And Jesus said, well, you have to be made alive again. Because being born means, what does it mean to be born? Carletta's getting ready to experience birthing something. And so, you know, the name of Eve, in the scripture, the word Eve means the mother of all living. So motherhood and being a woman means you are a life giver. And in the body of Christ, since we're neither male nor female, all the women get to have all the blessed things that men have, and all the men get to have all the blessed things that women have. So man will not be having a baby on earth, not normally. In the movies, they do that. Unless you're Jimmy waking up from anesthesia, Chain, I've had a baby. I said, oh, we're going to be rich. Where is the baby? I've had a baby. But anyway, that when Jesus answered Nicodemus, he did not say to Nicodemus factors that would denote you have entered into the kingdom of God. He didn't say, if this is, that is present, this is present, this is present. He says, there has to be the giving of life. You have to be born again. Born again means if you're born, you're given life. And so when you come to the Lord and you become a believer, you're given life. And you're given that life by the Holy Spirit. And that life is sustained by the continual receiving of life. And so I want to start out, and then we talk about revival. What is vive in Latin? Life. Revival is re-life, life, giving of life, giving of life. And so when we greet each other, we probably shouldn't say, well, how are you doing? We just say, how's your life level? How are you living today? Are you alive? Life, this is just the definition of life in Webster's dictionary. Life is a condition that distinguishes animals and plants from inorganic matter. Now, there's two kinds of things in chemistry. There's organic chemistry and inorganic chemistry. Inorganic matter does not have life in it. What is in organic matter that makes it have life is nitrogen. So for something to have life, it has to have nitrogen. Plant, animal, human, nitrogen is life in that world. It's the differentiation between inorganic. Copper is not alive. A sassafras is alive. Actually, they make ecstasy out of sassafras. I learned that yesterday when I was looking up sassafras. I'm like, whoa, Molly, these things, they like drugs. Like, whoa, when I was a kid, Daddy would just make us sassafras. No wonder we loved our daddy so much. Daddy, can we have another sassafras tea? We'd go out looking for the roots so Daddy could make the stuff. Anyway, I'm just playing with you a little bit. But the difference in live and not alive is the presence of nitrogen. So the condition that distinguishes animals and plants from inorganic matter, those things that do not have nitrogen in them. And so the things that... These are the elements that are in things that have nitrogen in them. You know what fixes nitrogen into the soil? One of the main things? Lightning. Lightning strikes. God, whoo, fixes nitrogen in the soil. Then some little cow eats some little plant that ate some little nitrogen, and we eat some little cow or we eat some little plant. And so we're eating lightning. But that nitrogen that's there is what is life and promotes life. It is It is the element that is present in amino acids and in protein. Nitrogen. Anyway, this presence, the condition that distinguishes us from copper and iron and those things, includes, life includes the capacity for growth. If you put a piece of copper down here, it ain't growing. If it grows, you better be calling somebody to come and look at this thing. You've got something amazing here that fell out of another planet, I think. If you plant a basil plant here, if all the conditions are right, it's going to go, it's going to grow, grow, grow. You're going to pinch off those little things, and it's just going to grow, and you're going to pinch, and it's going to grow. So the capacity for growth is in something alive. If a person has come to the Lord and they're just not growing, it's not, don't think, oh gosh, what are you doing wrong? What are you sinning? Where's the life? Infuse life. Get life. And so when we need growth, we need life. If we need to grow, we need life. If you need to gain weight, you're going to be eating protein. You're going to be getting some nitrogen somewhere because that's going to be growth. Capacity for growth. Not just a capacity for growth, but a capacity for reproduction. If something is alive, it can grow and it can reproduce. And so when Jesus is coming and he's saying, okay, this is who I am. I'm alive and I'm a giver of life. I give you the capacity to grow, and I give you the capacity to reproduce. Also, in addition to reproduction, is the capacity for functional activity. Plants function. They go through their little photosynthesis thingies. We do our little thingies in our cells, a little mitochondria, making the little ATP, making energy, smearing it all over us. We got all this stuff going on such a, like a little tiny, 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 tiny place. All the bazillions of things that are just making life, making energy, producing life, working all the time, functioning, functional activity. If a person is saying, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ and I'm full of the life of God, and I am just not functional. We may not be all the great things that we imagine we're going to be or want to be. Excuse me. This is totally gross. I hate it, but I haven't invented that thing yet. It'll also blow my own nose. But this capacity for functional activity is a part of life. So one of the things that happens in revival, when there's a re-lifing and there's an infusion of life and fresh life, there'll be growth, there'll be reproduction, there'll be bringing people to the Lord. The life that's in you will be being spread out and growing. And then there'll be functional activity. Where there is life, there's function. There's the ability to produce whatever God is saying to produce. If you're blocked in functional activity, which I say to the Lord periodically, God, what is this block? What is this block that I face constantly? The block of if you're blocked about functional activity, call for life. Because the presence of life increases the ability to function and to do things and get things done and move things. Functional activity. And one of my favorites, which I hate to death, it's a continual change preceding death. If something is alive, it changes continually until it's not alive anymore. The continual change preceding death. So he has lifed us. He has made us alive. I want you to just think about these things and like make note of them. That these are the things that are present when people are alive. You're saying you want to come to Jesus and let him life you. Let the Holy Spirit make you alive. Let him life you. It will increase your capacity to grow in God, will be given to you. You'll be able to reproduce good things and reproduce believers and reproduce after your own kind, God forbid. What kind that is. You'll have the ability for functional activity, and you will be changing constantly. Wouldn't it be, oh gosh, I just remember like earlier days in my walk with the Lord, I just think, oh, I am so arrived, bronze me, God. I've so got this down. I've forgiven my worst person I ever had to forgive, and on that day, oh God, I know I've given forgiveness now. Let's just bronze this. Let's just take a photo of this moment or a YouTube video of this moment, and let's just hold on to that for forever. But then there's always the next thing, and 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 the next thing. And then when you get older, or what else if you were to be ill and you weren't being healed or whatever, then the next thing and the next thing, and you're continually going to change until you're dead and you're not changing anymore. The only thing that stops change is death. So when we stop changing and don't want to change and resist change and buck up against it, just say to yourself, spirit of death, get out of here. I'm changing to the end. I'm changing till I get the big change. Because who was it said, all my appointed days will I wait, Job. All my appointed days will I wait until my change come. And then David described it as, I will wake up in his likeness. So there'll be huge change of translation when he translates us from mortal to immortal. And that's like the big, big last final change. And then I guess you get bronzed. I don't know if you're bronzed on that, or if you get into that and then all of a sudden you realize when you get into heaven, oh no, 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 God, no, surely not. I thought that was purgatory. Well, I'm not a Catholic. I thought it was in purgatory that people got prayed out of things and got changed. Changed their status. Well, I don't know, because we really don't know those things. But I just want to make the point that the capacity for growth, for reproduction, for functional activity, and for continual change is present in life. Life us, Lord. Life us. Life us. In the beginning, the living expression. The living expression is the Greek word logos, which has a rich and varied background in both Greek philosophy and in Judaism. The Greeks equated logos to the highest principle of the cosmic order. God's logos in the Old Testament is his powerful self-expression in creation, revelation, and redemption. In the New Testament, we have this new, unique view of God given to us by John, which signifies the presence of God himself in the flesh. Some have translated this rich term as word. It could be translated message or blueprint. Jesus Christ is the eternal word, the creative word, and the word made visible. He is the divine, listen to this, think of this. He is the divine self-expression of all that God is. He, Jesus, is the divine self-expression of all that God is and contains and revealed in incarnated flesh. Just as we express ourselves in words, God has perfectly expressed himself in Christ. And that's why he's called the Word. Any of y'all express yourself in words today? I've expressed myself in words today in all kinds of different dimensions. Yesterday, I expressed myself in words. I didn't say bad words, but I said, Jimmy, I'm stopping this car and I'm going to get out. He said, Jane. Someone just blew their horn at me and threw up their hands for like no reason. I just wanted to stop the car and get out and say, okay, let's discuss this. I wanted to express myself with words. I didn't want to express myself with gestures, though they were expressing with gestures. I wanted to express with words. That is how we express ourselves. If we express love or whatever we are expressing, there is the movement, there are gestures, there is a sense of presence that has expression. But our way we express ourselves is words. So when the Father, that self-expression, when he expressed himself, the Son is how I express. That he is the Word, he is that self-expression. He was with God, yet fully God. The living expression, Christ, had full participation in every attribute of deity held by God the Father. Jesus Christ had full participation in every attribute of deity that was held by the Father. He was fully God. And so that's the mystery of the Godhead. He's fully God and he's fully man. That is the mystery. And the living expression existed eternally as a separate individual, but essentially the same as one with the Father. That is the mystery of the Godhead. Who can define that mystery? But when we're thinking about life, I want you to think, when the Father self-expressed, life started coming on the scene. They were together, face to face. Now I'm reading you all these footnotes because they're just awesome. The Greek word used here and the Hebraic concept conveyed is that of being before God's face. There is no Hebrew word for presence. Remember Jacob when he wrestled with the angel? He said, Peniel, it means faces. I have seen the Elohim faces to faces, and my life is preserved. And so we think presence is like some vague whatever. There is no Hebrew word for presence. The presence of God is only the word face. Have you ever wanted to communicate very clearly to your child? Have you ever said, let me see your eyes? Have you taken them in their face in your hands and lifted their face? Or said to a child, look at me in the face. That is, I want your presence here. When you're looking at someone in the face, you're fully there with them. Face to face. So they were together, Father, Son, faces to faces. All of the wonder and mystery of the Godhead, the Elohim, in creating in the very beginning. And through his creative inspiration, this living expression made all things. Or all things happened because of him, and nothing happened apart from him. The Aramaic is translated, everything was in his hand. You know, Proverbs 9 describes the creation and speaks of Jesus in a personification of wisdom. And he's speaking in the first person like a personification of wisdom. He said, when he made things, I was there with him. I was daily his delight. And he's describing this presence of the Word that was there at the creation. And nothing was made except through his hand. Everything that was made was through his hand, in the hand of the Word. Everything that was made was in the hand of this incredible living expression. For nothing has existence apart from him. And Colossians tells us that in him everything is held together by his word, that his word still holds everything together, like all the particles, all of the copper, all of the basil, all of the everything, held together by the living word. that created everything that was in his hand then. But I want to tell you now, they're in his hand now. Because this word, this living expression, is eternal and never stops. It didn't just start and say something and create something and go somewhere else. The living expression, the word of God that created, that in his hand made things, in his hand still holds things, and that living expression is still moving it and breathing in it and making it alive. And so Jesus Christ, this is who he was, and life came into being. The Aramaic translation here reads, in him were lives. In him were lives. Plural. Not only multiple human lives, but also spiritual life, eternal life, and life in every form in him, in this expression, in the living expression, were lives. Jesus said in John 6:33, the words I speak to you, they are spirit, they are life. The words I say, they are spirit, they are life. For his life, hang with me. For his life is light for all humanity. For this living expression is the light that bursts through the gloom, the light that darkness cannot diminish. This is what we receive when we're born again. We're not just receiving an idea. We're receiving this life. And so the life is in you to nurture. The life is in you to feed. Or the life is in you to forget. But the life is in you. And so this word is life. And so I want to talk to you about how to focus on, in your life with God, this life that is light. Life that is light. Light, what does light signify to you? Keep going. What does light signify to you? When you think of light. Light. Being able to see. Man, safety? Oh, that's true. Light is safety. Sunshine. What is the emblem of General Electric? Light bulb. Light is also revelation. Light is also, like you can see. You can see, but you can see. So the presence of the Lord, the Holy Spirit in light, is what causes us to be able to see. So when we don't know what to do, our eyes are on you. We're looking to God to give you light, to give you revelation. And that is what he desires to do. It is his desire to do that. I have something that I'm reading a book by Judson Cornwall on healing. It's really good. And in this book, he brought out the verse, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." Psalm 119, verse 89. And so God's word is settled in heaven. This working is settled. And in Psalm 138, verse 2, the scripture says, "But you have magnified your word above all of your name." Because the word is life. and the Word is life. It's not that he's just magnified, read the Bible and go to sleep. Which you should read the Bible even if you're going to sleep. I'm not saying don't read your Bible if you're bored by it and you're going to sleep. But it's more. There's more to it than just read scriptures and something magic will happen. There is life already in you. And so as you take the Word of God that he's magnified above all of his name, and you begin to put it in you, as you put the Word of God in you, the life in you will be quickened. There'll be more life. The life will be increased, the presence of life. You'll become more aware of it. And the life will begin to lighten you. You'll be able to see better. You'll be safer. You'll be able to understand what God is doing. You'll have, I like the scripture, it's in Psalm 119:2, I think. Your word is a light, and a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. And so, thinking about the word, but just thinking about the word from the standpoint of the word is the place where we feed this life. I don't know what's going to happen to Jimmy's baby. I don't think anybody's fed it since it came that day, or even given anything to drink. So it is God's heart that lifes us with himself. It is the Holy Spirit, Hebrews tells us, who brings the life. So when we come to Jesus Christ, we get this infusion, life. As we feed this life, we become more alive, more alive. And then as we grow and we're growing and more alive and we're growing because we have this capacity to grow if we're alive, we'll be growing more and more alive, more and more and more. And then, oh my goodness, next thing you know, we're going to be reproducing. And there'll be more life and other life and life that I'm not sure I even understand life. So we'll be reproducing, we'll be moving into this functional activity that of life, but it doesn't come by magic. It comes by the recognition that the life in you is not you. It's not you or your good ideas or, oh, I finally got this. Oh, thank you, God. Yes. The Spirit gives life. The flesh profits nothing. I think that's John 6. The Spirit is life. The flesh profits nothing. So we get a little life going, and then we're thinking, oh, yeah, okay, I got that down. I got the life going here. And so then we put some of our pizzam on it. And all that we do, it's not that you don't do activity, but everything that we do has to be born out of this life. Because what we are engaged in ourselves, striving for God, apart from connection to the life in the Holy Spirit, it just really exercises in futility. And so the life giver has come to us. And the life giver wants to come to us again and again and again. The life giver wants to be intimately involved with us, like face to face, intimately involved. Look at me. Look at me when I'm talking to you, Jane. Yes, Lord. I'm very scared, but I'll look. I want to be in your presence. I want to know the life giver, the source of this thing that turned my life around. I want to be with the one who altered my course in life and what I believe and who I am. I want to be with him because I love him. I like him. I like God. God is really good. He is really good, and he's mysterious and amazing. If you searched out till forever and ever and ever, you'd never get to the end of all about him and how he does and who he is, how he works. But this living expression is the life that bursts through the gloom. and the light that darkness cannot diminish. The Greek has a double meaning here. Darkness could not diminish this light, nor could it comprehend it. The darkness can also be a metaphor for the sons of darkness. So that the sons of darkness cannot diminish us. If you're in the presence of people that are not life, not alive in God or not life, you're like, oh no, this is going to rub off on me. Not in the New Testament, no. Uncleanness rubbed off on people in the Old Testament. You couldn't touch a dead body. You couldn't do... But in the New Testament, it's just the other way around. Life gets on dead things. Everything shifts. It's not to be afraid of dead things. It's to life those dead things. Because what is in you cannot be diminished by darkness and cannot be taken under its power. Not the life. In your mind, you might get all confused and crazy, but not the life. When Jimmy was first in the hospital with surgery on his foot earlier in the month, Gabriella came. I was in the cafeteria eating, and she came in there, and she saw me and said, "Hey," and so we talked, and it was really a good thing to see a believer and share your heart right there in the middle of all that. That's a good thing. And so this time, at the end of the week, when he went into this heart failure, kidney failure thing, I'm down there in the cafeteria. I look up and there she is, Gabriella. She came over and I said, "Oh, we meet again." She shared something with me that, oh my goodness, it took hold on me. That she said she was in a prayer meeting up here, and she'll probably share it in the church, but she said she was in a prayer meeting up here, and she heard the word helmet. And so she went meditating on it, looking at it, and thinking, you know, the scripture says in Ephesians about this armor of God, but what she came to was in Thessalonians. And I can't remember the verse. Thessalonians, just look up helmet and pick the one in Thessalonians, first or second, I can't remember. And it talks about that. And then there was a passage in Isaiah also, where he talks about, I looked for an intercessor and I couldn't find anybody. So I just did it myself. My own arm saved me. I put on a helmet of salvation and a faith, righteousness and faith for a breastplate, and I went after it. Well, what the Lord showed her, in Thessalonians it says that, and put on for a helmet, the hope, and that on your chest is a breastplate of faith and love. And how God spoke to her, and this just so blessed me, that faith and love protects your heart, but hope protects your mind. And I realized if I don't let my hope anchor, that I hope in God, there will be no opportunity for faith and love to work in me to do anything wonderful. Because when God does wonders, faith is operating. Faith works when He does wonders. And love has to be there because faith only works by love. And so, but God wants to put on, He wants us to choose. Because the verse, and she shared it with us today in the prayer, the verse says, to put it on. It doesn't say God puts it on you. It says put hope on. And put hope on as a helmet. And put the helmet of hope on. Friend, do you remember where that verse is in Thessalonians? Okay, I'm going to get it. I've said enough about it that I need to tell you where it is. This is ridiculous. Redunculus, Hope, Helmet. Ta-da-da. Oh, hang on, guys. We're here in the coffee shop. And I'll just hope. I think, Helmet of Hope. There you go, 1 Thessalonians 5:8. And I'm going to read you the verse. And I shall read it to you in which version? New American Standard, why not? But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. The light, it seems to me that Jesus, who is the life, let his light break in on Gabriella to say to her that hope is what you guard your mind with. Hope is what you guard your mind with, and faith and love will guard your heart. And sometimes we try to make faith be the guard of our mind. And I realized that day when she said it, I just started to cry, and I said, oh, get out! Because I do hope in God. And I just started saying, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. And so let your hope rest in him, because hope is an anchor that goes straight in behind the veil into the actual face of God. Hope takes you to his face. It does. Hope is anchored behind the veil. Hope takes you to his presence. And I have now changed presence to face, because that's my new thing I'm doing. I don't want to think of God as some vague atmosphere. Face of my Father. Face of the one who wants to love me and talk to me straight in my face. Have you ever had anybody look you straight in the eye and say some wonderful thing to you and just absolutely take your breath away and capture you? Anybody that's ever been in love, I'm sure, has had that happen. Oh my gosh, that's how you lose your mind. Thank you, Lord. Lord, talk to us face to face. Lord, we put our hope in you. And we put our hope not just in you as a technicality, not just in you as a Christian God that we know about and know things about, know how to activate certain things. We put our hope in you as the lover of our soul, as our God and our friend and our Savior. And we ask you to visit us face to face. Let us experience life like we've never experienced life. Let there be a release in this house and in us as believers of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus, that will break away and break out every spirit of death that is endeavoring to harm, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Lord, you didn't come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's the threefold work of hell. You came to give life. And you came to give overflowing, abundant, amazing life. And that's who you are. And we receive it and say yes to it, and we want it. And we say yes to growing, and we say yes to the things that life brings to us. And we say, when you start bringing life and bringing new birth or bringing reproduction, we're not going to be going, oh God, this is difficult. Oh. We love your life. We love your life. I pray, Lord, that you'll begin to speak into the hearts of every person in this room tonight, that in their spirit you'll begin to quicken your word and your life, that you'll begin to quicken things in them while they sleep, while they pray, while they're reading in your word, that you will cause life to jump. Oh, Lord, let life be jumping. Let it be coming alive in us. La 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 ma cha ta da. Let life be coming alive in us. We thank you, Lord, that if you give us one little nitrogen molecule, one little piece and source of life, we promise to feed it with your word. We promise to saturate it with our love. Thank you, Lord. What God promises, he will do. All his promises are yes and amen. All his promises are yes and amen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because if you come to him, you got to believe that he is. But you can't. If it's not perfect, like Will Ahmet said on Sunday, I could have just got up there and kissed him, but that probably y'all would have taken that wrong. You got to believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But if you come pretending that you believe in him and you don't believe in him, then you're not coming like you are. Remember the father who came to Jesus and said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. He was as he was. He came as he was in the clothes that he had on, who he was, and where his faith was. And Jesus just said, well, I can cover that. Because if we'll be who we are in God and be real and true in God and come to him, he with his word will cause our faith to come alive, and his word will water the life in us. We'll have more life and more life and more life. And if we come and we say, I believe, help my unbelief, he's like, oh, okay, I got that covered. Oh, my disciples, they can't do anything. Hey, okay, I'll just come by my spirit, whatever. Face to face. Probably one of the good things you have to do is a disciple fail trying to get you healed. And then you could just say, Jesus, your disciples can't do nothing. And then and he would just say, oh, come on, get out of here. I'll take care of this. You maybe have to come down from my mountaintop experience. What's wrong with you people? So Jesus says, when the father of the deaf mute son met Jesus as he descended from the Mount of Transfiguration to plead for a complete deliverance for the boy, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And Jesus was moving the focus of the father's attention from the problem of the boy that was deaf-mute to his faith. Jesus moved the attention off of the problem and scooted it over here on the man. And he said, I believe, help my unbelief. And when the father exercised the measure of faith that he had, Jesus delivered the boy. Because we've got life in us. Father had hope. The father had hope, or he would not have brought the boy. Hear me, hear me. Let hope be the guard of your mind in the place of the beginning. He had a hope, otherwise he would have never brought the boy. And their inability to handle this level of demonic activity had dashed those hopes to the ground. There was no faith in his father till Jesus spoke to him. And so we've got to put ourselves in the right place before the face of the right person and let our focus not be on the problem that's not relenting, but on the one who can give you life and give you faith. You have a measure of faith. He can quicken that faith. If there's a gift of faith present, anybody can believe. Oh, the Lord spoke to me today. The gift of faith is like the gift of prophecy. If the gift of prophecy starts to work, have you ever heard somebody prophesy and they start to prophesy and something stirs in you and you feel like you could prophesy? And then sometimes people will. And sometimes people who have gift of prophecy or office of prophet, they'll just start doing things just to open gates so then people can feel that stirring and do what they do and wake them up and say, hey, hey, hey. Faith is the same. If the gift of faith is present, then that thing will come in all kinds of people. So that's why when people are in like healing meetings or healing times and something wonderful happens and there's a gift of faith, then this person will believe and that person will believe and another person will believe, because there is this life-giving thing where life makes life. And God will quicken us. Well, I'll tell you what, I might become known as like a mighty woman of faith and power. I'm just telling you right now, it could actually happen. Because my face is to the face of the one who said to the boy's dad, oh, I'll handle this. Give me what you got there. Give me what you got there. Give me what you got there. I'll do it. I'm here. And I declare he is here. He is here. He is in this place. He is with us. He is with you when you go in your house. See him there. Know that he's there. Read his word and know that you're just feeding that seed of life. Carletta has seed of life in her. And I'm sure she's eaten. I'm saying they're probably thinking, what's our grocery bill going to be now? How this woman is eating. And the more she eats, the more life grows. I want to ask you just to let the word quicken the life that is in you. Let the word of God, as you read it, let it quicken the life that is in you. And let that hope, take it yourself. Just say to yourself, well, I don't know what I believe, but Lord, but I hope in you. I put the helmet of hope on my head and I guard. The battleground for everything is in your head. It is in your head. So the battleground for everything being in your head, then you can guard your thoughts in your head with hope. It's not complicated. It's not so tricky that you have to have a PhD in demonology to stand down the devil. Guard your head with hope. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you. Thank you for your precious word, and thank you for who you are. Thank you that you never, never, never leave us and you never forsake us and you never give up on us. Lord, I thank you Jimmy Lambert is alive this day. I thank you for your grace and your mercy over his life and how you will do wonders in him. You will do it because it's your heart to do so. It is your heart. Look on him wherever he is, whatever he's doing. Look on him. If he's gotten up and is cleaning the house, smack him over, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm just teasing. Do you ever pray joke prayers to God?